And I agree with you, by the way. Welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. It's Friday, and it's Fridays with Sandy Williams, co-host. And, you know, you can join the conversation at 844-967-2789. Sandy, I can't believe how fast time has flown, and we've been on kind of like the same thing. I've got some other things I wanted to talk about, but let's go back to Tom first. Excuse me. Hey, Tom, what's going on?
First up, Sandy, God love you, but we got to get some facts straight. Number one, we can't keep buying into the Republican talking points. There was no raid on Donald Trump's house. They actually got a subpoena beforehand.
I said it was a search and seizure. A search warrant.
But it was a search.
And it was based on a warrant. Yeah, it was based on a warrant.
They knew about it ahead of time. Their lawyers knew about it ahead of time. The people came in regular clothes. They weren't even wearing... The only people that had weapons there were the people that were securing Donald Trump. So I'm just saying that we have got to get this where people don't think that it's like an assault, ambush.
I agree with you. I don't think I said raid. I think I started the R word and backed off quickly. They were executing a search warrant, and they did it all together in the normal manner.
Right. But I think we need to say in a normal manner like that, because otherwise the right-wingers all of a sudden think they have a leg to stand on, and they really don't. Second is 80% of the day of a congressperson is spent dialing for dollars. 80%. So just think about that. Only 20% is actually done towards their job. And that's why Citizens United is so important to get rid of. And I know you guys agree with me on that, but 80% of each day of a congressperson is spent on dialing for dollars, begging people for money for these campaigns, which is just the most disgusting thing on the earth. And the other thing is, again, can you name for me legislation in the last 50 years that the Republicans have passed or the Republicans have put forward that has been there for the average working person? Because I can't. And the thing is, we've really got to get it clear that the Democrats are the party that is actually for the working person. They're trying to put up legislation and pass laws that are for the average working person. Thank you very much. Sandy, you know I love you, but I want us to make sure that when our messaging gets out there, we don't fall into this right-wing, you know, talking points that we heard on the corporate media, because that's what all the media is corporate, MSNBC, everyone. So thank you. I'll take my answer off the air.
Hey, Tom, thank you very much for the call. Sandy, you want to respond to any of that?
No, I think he has a point.
So let me do this. I want to do this quickly, and then we'll... Steve Bannon attacks Mike Pence for defending FBI, and he called Mike Pence gutless. So, you know, here's a prime example of what has happened to the Republican Party. When Mike Pence was the VP of Donald Trump, he defended everything that Donald Trump did. He would fall on the sword for him, right?
Well, you know, here's what's the problem, really, is that someone like Steve Bannon can say something and actually gets quoted in national media, because Steve Bannon is a weird dude.
Yeah,
who basically the only person he ever had any credibility with was Donald Trump, and his screwball internet network, and then he got ousted from both of those situations, and is now sort of a fringe player. My God, you know, so we've got Steve Bannon saying something and we're talking about it. Who should give a damn about what Steve Bannon has to say?
You know, it's not to me. It's the fact that a guy like Mike Pence, who was a credible guy,
right,
whether you were Republican or Democrat, the one thing you could say about Mike Pence was that Mike Pence at least was a guy who was thoughtful.
Well, here's what I'll say about Mike Pence. He did the right thing on January 6th, and he seemed to be put principles above power when it came down to some fundamental issues of the, for instance, the most important thing, this peaceful transfer of power in the United States government. And so I got to hand it to, you know, Mike Pence did the right thing. Steve Bannon was a part of trying to turn national politics and Republican politics into the World Wrestling Federation, giving everyone nicknames, and certainly he's got the nickname now for Mike Pence.
You know,
Gutless. I think that was Donald Trump's version of a nickname for him too. I think he called him that on January 6th.
You know, I want to get into now, Sandy. I'm sure you're aware that there are conversations being had right now that have been ramped up on peace negotiations between Ukraine and Russia. You know, does that mean that not only Vladimir Putin, but Zelensky, they're looking at the oncoming winter and saying, hey, we better try to, you know.
Well, neither of the principals in this fight
will
ever say that they're interested in a peace negotiation, because it'll look like they're
surrendering.
And there was some suspicion that the Erdogan UN visit to Zelensky, while it was supposedly about the Zhybarysk, the nuclear plant there, whose name I have trouble pronouncing because it's got, I think, three Z's in it.
If Sandy can't pronounce it, I'm certainly not going to try.
Yeah, it's got too many Z's, and they're too close together. But, there was a notion that they were there to talk to him about shipments of grain and the nuclear plant, and they undoubtedly talked about those things, but there's also suspicion that they were talking to Zelensky about opening peace talks, and that I think Erdogan has tried to position himself as the broker for peace. He's maintained discussions between both Putin and Zelensky. And my hope is that he can serve that process, that there need to be peace negotiations, that the notion that this can be resolved on the battlefield leads to very bad outcomes for America, for the world, for Ukraine, for Russia. It's not going to work well. And the notion that it can get to one party having a clearly victorious position or the other party having one is very unlikely.
Well, so there's some struggling now from the allies and the promises that they've made to continue to arm Ukraine. And that's getting to be more and more difficult for these nations.
Putin, some of Putin's speculation, that some of it was attributed to him and some he actually talked about himself, is coming true. You know, the UK and Europe is experiencing inflation at more than 10%. The impact on their economies is greater than on ours by a long shot. The budget impact of what they're doing on behalf of Ukraine has got a bigger impact on their military budgets than it does on ours. So they're experiencing much more of the brunt of this than America is. You know, we've got a slowing down of our and a downward turn on our energy prices. They have a shift upward, and they have winter yet to come when gas will be the source of heat, and they're going to be very short of gas. The expectation is that the price of gas will fly up during the winter months in Europe. So there's a lot of clouds on the horizon, economically speaking and socially speaking. And then there's just this problem of having a static war ongoing in Ukraine for a long time, and people have had a lot of trouble, a lot more trouble, visualizing what the outcome of that war is as in terms of being less painful than the war itself. But will peace, will an extended war and the outcome of war be as painful as the war itself, or do we need to have a negotiated settlement sooner rather than later? And I think more and more people undoubtedly are reaching the judgment that a negotiated settlement is a pretty good idea.
Well, you know, the NATO allies want to see that happen. You're draining them. They don't have the resources that the United States has. And if they make a promise to give $2 billion worth of munitions or money, that's a major sacrifice for many of those nations. And they can't continue that. And Ukraine is saying, hey, give me more. You made a promise to us. And these other nations are saying, hey, we're tapped out.
Right. So, like I say, reality setting in, and the reality of a long and extended war is very troublesome, and the reality of a peace that's the result of war without negotiation is also very troublesome. And so, you know, with the fact that there are there are three ways this thing can proceed. One is the war that never ends. One is a war that ends in one side or the other being vanquished. Or the third one is a compromise settlement. And the only one of those that has a very satisfactory outcome as far as the general public, the world public, the European public, the American, etc., is a compromised negotiated settlement.
Can that happen without the United States at the table?
Well, I don't know if we're at the table, but we're definitely...
No, I say, can a peace...
Well, I'm not sure...
...deal be brokered without the United States?
I'm not sure we would be at the table, but we would certainly
behind
be
the scenes,
behind the scenes and behind the curtain having a great deal of influence, because our willingness to continue to provide munitions and support is a strong factor in Zelensky's capacity to either deny negotiation or to proceed.
All right. All right, we've got to go to a break. Our phone lines are open, as always, at 844-967-2789. You're tuned into the Earl Ingram Show. It's Friday with Sandy Williams. We'll be right back.